Morning. Question. Why does a referee wear this color shirt? Well, it's a symbol. It's to represent that when an official sees a play, he sees it in terms of black or white. He blows his whistle and he makes the call accordingly. The ball's inbounds or it's out of bounds. It's either a goal or it's not a goal. The basket counts or it does not count. It's either a catch or not a catch. The field goal attempt is either good or no good. Referees are supposed to know the rules inside and out. They're supposed to hustle and get into position to see the play, and then in an unbiased way, call the play as he sees it in terms of black or white. No gray area. Of course, it's not a perfect system. Sometimes officials are not diligent with studying the rule book, or they don't hustle to get into position, or their eyesight is getting dim, or they didn't get enough sleep last night, or any other personal problems. Sometimes they can become biased against a certain coach for some reason. And all this gray area stuff seeps into their decision making when they blow the whistle. With God, it is not this way. His eyesight is sharp. To God, the judgment is very black or white. In the highest court possible, God will judge whether it's heaven or hell for each human being. No gray area. He's in a position to make the call, and he's never, ever wrong. But in our own courts, man's sense of justice is far from perfect. When a crime is committed, we don't always see all the angles. We don't know everything. We try to collect evidence and recreate what may have happened. We try to draw conclusions. Because of this, criminals can fall through the cracks in our system. Back in the 1500s in jolly old England, there was what defendants called the cruel trilemma. Not a dilemma of two things to choose from, but three. In the cruel trilemma, as they called it, an accused person was forced to either A, commit perjury by lying under oath to protect himself, or B, betray his own natural inclination to protect himself by telling the truth about what he did, or C, receive harsh punishment for contempt of court by refusing to answer direct questions. So later, when our own country was formed, our founding fathers found it fitting to take away this last part and not put a defendant under that pressure, and not force a defendant to testify or give evidence against himself. In other words, they gave the accused the right to remain silent. It's the Fifth Amendment. It's an imperfect system, but I think they would rather let 100 guilty people go free than to convict one person who's innocent. But even that happens in our system. God's justice system is not so hit or miss. For one thing, he knows everything. And what's more, he does not give us the right to remain silent. He demands that we admit what we do and that we strive to amend our sinful life. David admitted that when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. It tortured David to live in unrepentance. God's law is crystal clear. We're guilty. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Another Romans passage says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We are not to remain silent about our sins. God wants us to confess, like David eventually did, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. God also wants us, as James put it, to confess your trespasses to one another. Don't remain silent when you've done somebody wrong. Get it out there and say you're sorry, like the prodigal son when he returned home. Now, in one of life's greatest ironies, Jesus himself was in front of a judge in man's court system. And he said very little to defend himself. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, Isaiah says. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Now, who would have faulted him for defending himself? He did nothing wrong, and yet he said nothing. He was the lamb who went uncomplaining forth, the guilt of all men bearing. He remained silent for us, and now in turn, this should inspire us to not remain silent about him. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now there's a lot in there to wrap your brain around in this passage. But quite simply, this is the purpose for which Jesus came to earth. This is the one the angels announced to the shepherds. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And just like those shepherds, we are not to remain silent about Jesus either. Several times I've spoken to, I think a lot of us on faculty have spoken to students that have graduated and gone on to universities. And they tell us that God's truth is attacked out there in the world. And sometimes it's difficult to speak out when you feel so outnumbered. They tell us that they didn't always appreciate it at the time, but when they were students here, they gathered around the Word in this gym 10 times a week. And they miss it now. When that bell rings at 10 after 10 every morning, it suddenly gets very silent in this gym. And that's good, because there are times when it's good and it's right to remain silent. Like, for example, when God's law and gospel are being presented. And then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declare how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Likewise, it was very beneficial when Jesus was silent on that Good Friday. He did so out of love for us. But let us not remain silent when we have confessions to make, both to our Lord and Savior, to Him who knows all and sees all. And let us not be silent when we should apologize to a neighbor, or a classmate, or a roommate, a parent, or a spouse. Let us not remain silent when there's the gospel to spread. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Don't be silent. There are too many people in this world that don't know that with God, it is very much either one way or the other. So many people think there are several ways to heaven. But with God, there is no gray area. Too many people don't know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The seniors aren't here today. But what did we learn about them over the weekend in their banquet speeches? I think we learned that they have developed relationships with one another, all right? But we also learned that they have developed relationships with Christ. And when each of you goes, when you leave and go out there, know that we will miss you. But remember what you've learned. Take it with you. Share what you know. And don't be silent. Let's sing about it in the hymn verse on the screen.